This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're trying to get a feel for how people spend their day at work. So if you would you walk us through a typical day for you?
It's Mike Shope.
Well, I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
Yeah, I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working. I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
And the Bulldog.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hi, everybody. We are at 7-1-6 today. The Sabres host Carolina tonight. Welcome to continuing coverage of Is Josh Allen Good Week on WGR. It's really been the whole week almost so far, although we'll do plenty of hockey today. Where do you park here?
I park in the Harbor Center ramp.
You do? So do I.
Right outside the back door, I guess, of 7-1-6.
So I don't exactly know why or how this happened this way, but I'm driving in, and you almost always have to get to the second level. You want to get to the second level of the parking garage because the first level is just not close enough to 716, right?
Right.
So you want to at least get to the second level, and almost always I'm going to at least the third.
Okay.
Sometimes the fourth, but I'm almost never on the second level anymore.
Oh, yeah.
That's almost always full. So, and if you go...
I got a great spot out there on the second level.
Close to the door?
Yeah.
Okay, then somebody had just left,
yeah.
Right?
There was another spot as I was walking in, and I thought, well, if Mike drives in right now, I'm going to just wave him right in here.
But right, anyway. Right there. But I was already here.
You're already here. You beat me.
So if you go too far up the ramp away from 716, then you don't want to park there either. You want to come back around and park on the third level.
If you go on 3 or 4, I like to be down
right here by the
down
steps.
At this end, so you can just take
right.
the stairway down. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So on the second level, there was a woman who was kind of looking around. And, you know, I'm driving. I just passed her. And for some reason, I had the thought that she's looking for her car. I don't know. Something about her face made me think she was not sure. She was looking for her car in the garage.
She wasn't flailing her arms and crying hysterically, was she?
No.
A sign that she was in real distress.
Then it would have been obvious?
Yeah.
No, it was just like a second. I'm driving up the ramp, and I pass a woman who's looking around, like her head is tilted up,
okay.
And she's looking around. So, okay, you know, you think about that for like less than a second, and you keep going, and I park on the third level, and I needed a minute to get stuff out of my car. I'm going on a trip tonight, and I had like sort of buried my work stuff. I have my phone charger, and I'm sort of digging around my car, and I hear a horn honk, like somebody is
hit the remote
opening or closing their car. And I thought, I wonder if it's that lady.
It's a good thing to do when you can't find your car.
It's the thing to do,
right?
So I wonder if it's that lady. And then it happens again, and then again, and I realize it's the car next to me. And she was, like, not even close to that. So I don't know if it's the same or whatever, but then I'm hearing, like, the car next to me, the horn is going off, you know, beep, beep, not like an alarm.
Right.
But somebody is...
They're hitting the lock.
Yeah,
they're hitting the lock button on their car.
And I sympathize with this lady, if it was this lady. Because she was nowhere... She was not even close if it was her.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't, then I passed someone who looked like they were looking for their car, and then I was parking next to someone, a car that I think someone was looking for.
Yeah.
We'll never know. We'll never know.
Those two things probably are related.
Probably.
Yeah, right.
But I sympathize with her because I think it is very easy to get lost in a parking garage. Very easy.
Yes. I think that's right.
I went to lunch with my wife today down here, and I parked in the newish garage on Elmwood and Chippewa by Rachel's. We went to Rachel's.
Yep.
So there's a parking garage that has not long been there.
Rachel's. I like it.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Of course. So there's a new parking garage right there, and I parked in there, and I'm like, okay, I'm on the third floor. So what, like, what kind of note do you make to yourself when you are leaving your car? For me, it's like pretty much only, except at Disney, where you remember the character. They tell you, oh, you're in Goofy 5.
They did that in 1973 when I was there as a very small child.
Yeah, they still have that. Oh, I'm in Goofy. Guys, remember, we're in Goofy. We went to the four parks in one day this year. It got harder over the course of the day. Are we in Goofy? Are we in Adventureland? Like, where is our car? But, you know, here, it's like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
So you get out, look around for the staircase, and it's 3. Okay, I'm on 3. Go down the stairs to the exit, and the exit says left for Delaware, right for Elmwood, or whatever, vice versa. Get out, go to lunch. Come back, cannot get in. That door is locked now. The door to get back in the parking garage that I came out of is locked.
So now you got
to
go in a different entrance.
Why would they do that? Why would they lock that door?
I
do people like sleep in the stairs? What's going on there? Why do they lock that door?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't have a lot of parking ramp ownership experience.
I wonder why they lock that door, but they must have a reason.
Yeah.
So I end up walking all the way sort of around the garage to get in, and I'm on 3, but your car is in the middle, and there's like, oh, how do I even say it? Is it, are you, do you get it already? Like, you go up, but then are you on 4?
You're not sure. Yeah, right.
You don't know.
Right.
Do I need to go down? The middle is the middle 3. Is the middle 2, 3, or 4? I don't even know.
Right.
I just know that I locked my car, stepped out, looked for the nearest stairs, and it said 3.
Right.
So I think it's very easy to get lost in a parking
garage. So you didn't have a problem remembering the level. It was more a confusion as to where actually, how to get to where your car was.
Yeah. Like, I was on a different side of the garage. What happened was, I know I'm on 3. The staircase says, I get out, I'm in the garage now, and it says 3. And I know I parked in the middle. But if I had gone up to my car, I would have been on 4.
Yeah.
And I would have been lost.
I still do this thing, although I have grown up enough, I guess, to the point where I don't have to verbalize it, so nobody that's with me, mostly my wife, but often, certainly in this ramp, it's been Owen more than anyone for the academy upstairs, but I will look at the number. And whatever, it's usually a hockey player I think of that wore that jersey number.
You do that.
That's what I remember. So 5, I'd go like Craig Muni. 3, Gary.
He's your 5?
Huh?
He's your 5?
It varies. It's not, there's not like a, I don't chart, it's different people. Like, it's just, it just might be just spur of the moment who I think of at that time.
All right.
I don't know
it's
why.
It's usually just Sabres for you.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Okay. Plus you're at the Harbor Center.
So I do that. I did have, I didn't lose my truck on Saturday at the Northtown Center, but you were there on Sunday. Have you been there a lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speed skating.
Do you know, what do you consider the front of the building? The front door?
Oh, well, I always go around it.
Yeah.
I take that entrance in from Maple.
Yeah, Maplemere, that is.
And then I go around to the other side because when I was first there, the speed skating guys were meeting on the other side.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's the front.
I don't know.
Is it?
I don't know.
Which is the? This is a good question. Which is the front? Is it from the UB entrance side?
Right. The with the circular driveway by the doors.
Yeah.
That
could
like
be the front.
Drop off area.
That could be
maybe
the front.
Seems like the front, but the other side, you walk in, and the stairs are right there to go up to the viewing area. Which, you know, for the Olympic rink, for example, that Owen's team was playing on all weekend last weekend, if you park on the other side, you got to walk through the whole building to get to the stairs.
There's no stairs on either side. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's probably, we're right.
So, yeah, I think my wife had, I went with Owen early because I wanted to watch the Sabres game on Saturday, and his game wasn't until 3, and he wanted to go. So I went with him, and she had my truck. She was out with my truck. And then after the game ended, I was going to leave before her, and so she gave me the keys, and I said, where'd you park? And she said, in the front. And I didn't even really think about it. I just walked to the circular drive side, the UB side, I guess, and went out there and started walking around and walked almost through the whole parking lot and then started hitting my remote, and nothing was happening.
No.
And I went she's on the other
side. On the other side. Yep.
I did not.
The front is tough there.
I did not walk back in because I didn't want everyone to see me. Like, everyone, okay, bye, I'll see you later. Okay, yeah, bye. And then like 10 minutes later, I come, you know, in shame walking back through. I walked around the building and, you know, my truck was over there in the front, I guess. I don't know.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Over there, you really have to be careful. Be specific.
Yeah.
Here, I don't know. I just think it's easy to get lost in a parking garage. Plus, all the cars kind of look the same, you know. They're either all silver or, like, dark blue. They kind of all look the same, usually. Got a bunch of snow caked on them.
At this time of the year, a lot of cars are very similar color.
They're all just sort of
dirty,
brownish gray.
Gray.
All right. We'll have John Clayton today. And a lot of hockey, as we said, Paul and then Rob and then Jason Botterill today before pregame at 6 for Carolina. The Sabres are now in fifth place in their division. They're 9-8, and their goal differential is +2. So all that cool stuff is kind of just all back to the beginning. They're not underwater yet, but they've lost any kind of lead that they had. And so what's the right attitude right now about this? I have a friend who texted me yesterday, heard Ralph Krueger on the station yesterday, and he said, did he give an answer to any question that you liked? Did you like his answer to any question? And I said, no, not really. You know, this idea that Dahlin has to be sort of like, if it wasn't said, it was implied, like he has to be better defensively. And one of the things about, like, sort of the new age of hockey is guys who are brilliant players that are defensemen, but they're more offensive minded, never really got the respect because hockey tended to only think of them as lacking defensively. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, they're good offensively, but the right answer to this, I think, is, well, if they're good offensively and you have the puck in the offensive zone when they're out there, they're doing a fine job. Like, they're doing the job.
Right.
You're not getting scored on. And so whether they're able to, if, you know, you're not turning Dahlin, I hope, here into like Darian Hatcher or somebody who's just going to stay back and take you out.
I cannot imagine that that's the intent here.
But, you know, you have Krueger reminding fans that he's a teenager, and that I don't like the sound of that. I mean, first of all, we know. And second, like, what are we doing? Like, are we trying to change him?
Well, they got to do something with him. Because he's been a mess for a while. Like, I don't – it's funny. I heard that whole interview, too. I didn't react much to defensively because all I think of as him, like, defensively is him with the puck in his own end. I'm not thinking about how he is positioning his stick on plays coming out of the corner or stuff like that. And I'm sure they're watching video on that and working on him – in those areas too, just like they would with any player on this team, whether they're young or old. I think there's always things that you want to be fine-tuning. I think whatever is troubling Dahlin comes simply down to the way teams are. I've talked about it with you and Paul already a couple times. It's come up, and I think teams are just attacking him hard, and he has to figure out how to counteract that. That's what I think he needs to work on. Everything else, I think, because if he ends up in trouble in his own end, or the team does while he's on the ice, it can be because he hasn't made a good play with the puck when he had it. And that's happening pretty regularly. And so I need him to figure that out, or need them to help him figure that out, because I need him to be someone who, when he's got the puck, I'm going on offense.
Well,
he's that good. And that's not happening right now. So, I don't know. I'm not worried about his defense, per se, you know, like physical or whatever. I'm mostly worried about him getting in trouble when he's got the puck, because that's a guy I want to have the puck.
Well, I hope he's not in his own head because of some thing that they want different from him. Like, if it's this as a reaction to how he's played in the first 17 games, that's one thing. If how he's playing is a function or result of what they're trying to do, that's another. And I just really, I mean, I don't have a lot of confidence in any of this given the last 5 years or 50, So, I mean, I just don't want to think that they're trying to change Darlene at all. I mean, you have a guy here who just, like, fell out of the sky to this organization and should be somebody that they can expect to have be basically a Norris candidate, not a finalist necessarily every year, a winner, but somebody mm-hmm. that should be considered for, like, many years. And I don't know, like, I don't know if I'm supposed to just sort of question him or question them, but I don't like the idea of them trying to. And aren't they dumping the puck in all the time?
There's a lot of that.
What's that?
I don't
supposed
know.
To be. What, like, that's not
no.
the new game.
I don't.
You watch high school teams who don't do that,
right? Yeah, I don't know what's happening there. I think I mentioned this. I was at a preseason game, the Columbus preseason game, which was the last home preseason game. And I sat there watching it, and there was a lot of that. And Owen mentioned it because, you know, he's been around high-end hockey, and he's been to Sault Ste. Marie a few times, and, like, they're about – like, it's emphasized in the room before you go on the ice. Like, you got to do something with the puck. Don't just throw it somewhere. We want to make plays, right? So we're watching that game, and, like, halfway through, said, they're dumping the puck in a lot. And I sat there. I said, yeah, that's right. I said, I wonder here's the best I can do for you. I hope they're working on, from the start of this game, what it's like when we've got a two-goal lead or something.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, it's preseason, so let's try that.
Right.
We don't care about the result of this game. It was a pretty NHL lineup that they had that night. So let's take our, you know, four-minute offense, so to speak, out for a spin, right? If you know what I mean by that, team with a lead trying to just sort of grind the clock out. We're just going to go play easy, simple, dump it, and not worry about it.
That'd be seemingly smart to do.
Yeah, right. But it's been happening in you know, regular games where they're not in front. So I don't know what's happening there. It's not something I'm really encouraged by.
Is it a move you would make to try to compensate? I mean, I don't know if you know the answer to this. I know I don't. Why would it be like that? Like, are you trying to compensate for an overall failure? Or the expectation of a failure of your team to have enough possession. So you just sort of try to, I don't know, it's not simplify the game, but affect it so that you're not turning the puck over in the neutral zone
right.
all night and giving up odd man rushes. And
I would think it's a counteraction to teams taking something away from you, and usually that would be freedom to make plays in the neutral zone. And so if I can't do what I want to do out here and you've got bodies out here, I'm going to throw it down there, and then I'm going to outnumber you and get the puck. That's the idea. That's been the dump and chase for 50 years. Has been, you know, I'm going to put two guys on your one guy. I'm coming out of there with it, and then I've got possession in the zone. That's the idea. So if they're finding it too challenging to move fluidly through the neutral zone, that's a thing that you do to counteract that. But I don't know. I'd like there to be a better idea. But maybe there's not, because of the makeup of this team or just how, you know, the philosophy of the coaching staff. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I wish I had more answers.
I mean, that has – that. I think that, like, it's not the predominant way that the good teams play anymore, but it is still a facet of the game, you know, that is deployed at times. You know, there's scenarios where it is the thing to do with the puck. But as a, like, option one, I don't love that.
If they're still not giving Darlene the most minutes, I know that he's not playing great or at the level he did most or all of last year, and I want to just ignore that. But I do expect and want to expect him to return to that form, and it's vital that this team, coaches and everything, not try to mess with him or try to have him do something different. I mean, you revolve around a guy like this. You build around a guy like this. He still never really played the most minutes for them. Like, they still have never given him that. They still give Ristolainen the most minutes, again, year after year after year, just blind to the evidence that helps get them beat. But that's just that's Sabres life. So they have not given Darlene really, like, number one status.
Right.
And I don't know, if you do and you take Ristolainen and McCabe away, or maybe other guys, and you have Pilot and, like, Miller may sit, I mean, that, are we close
that's
to that point?
He's sitting tonight, yeah.
Guys have been good possession players. Like, wouldn't you just sort of empower them and then allow your team to, with that defense core, do what they're better at, and that is maintain possession, and that isn't dump and chase.
Right.
I don't know. It seems like it could be just sort of an adjustment. If it's not the coach's philosophy, like, maybe we have that. But if it's not that, is it an adjustment to the roster, but – maybe it's all upside down, and you're doing that because guys you're giving big minutes to can't handle them, and so you do this as like a defense mechanism.
Right. Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I think to round that out, I think you do that with Ristolainen and McCabe, and however much they struggle, I'm assuming that they don't think the other guys can handle those minutes against the other team's top lines, and that's why they aren't getting them. Obviously, you want to get to a point where I think someone else, Dahlin is the obvious one, assumes that role on this team. But
what are we waiting for?
He's not ready.
But these other guys are proven failures at it.
Okay.
I mean, who is – what do you – how do you decide?
I don't know. But the way Dahlin is playing against the people he's playing against tells me I just – anecdotally, I would assume it's not going to go well if they do that. But I don't know that. I mean, I'm open to trying, certainly, but look, you're using phrasing like mess with Dahlin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have to coach him. I mean, they've got to coach him. They've got to help him get through what he is struggling with right now. Like, to just do nothing and go, well, you were great when you were 17, so we're not going to do anything with you, would be irresponsible. You know, I'm trusting that they're not trying to turn him into something that – is that doesn't get you drafted number one overall, because I mean that would be the height of absurdity.
You're giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, I am.
Which I guess I could choose to do. Do they deserve it?
This coach to me does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He hasn't really done anything yet that has me like bent. You know, and even tonight, like I know. You know, I know where Ristolainen and McCabe rate amongst the fans, and I know where they rate within the data and all of it. There was a point before Scandella got hurt where I think the smart people who cover the Sabres and write about the Sabres were guessing that Miller would be the first guy out of the lineup.
Yeah.
So now Scandella's back, and funny enough, like, he was a scapegoat largely last year, just, you know, not a good player playing on the top pair with Ristolainen in the lot, and correct me if I'm wrong, since he's been out of the lineup, this team has been in the weeds.
He was good this year before.
So maybe he and Joakim Haru together get back together, and that gives them a bump. You know, I guess I'm hoping for that. So I can see why you end up on Miller, assuming you're not willing to take one of the guys that play 24 minutes a night out. Which I'm assuming they're not willing
Which
to do
apparently
that.
There is some blood law that prevents the Sabres from ever doing that or even reducing the minutes. Well, save us, Marco Scandella. That's where we're at, game 18 of year 9 since a playoff game. Sabres in Carolina tonight. Carolina's good, but they've been losing a little bit. They won their last game. We'll have pregame for you at 6. Paul Hamilton will join us after the break. And we'll have Rob Ray at 4 here from 716.
Right, yeah, a lot of hockey. John Clayton sandwiched in there, too, for some football at 5. Right now I'm here to talk to you about Community Beer Works. Look, drinking beer is great all on its own, of course, but when you can enjoy a pint or two and help people right in your own community, well, that's even better, and that's why I've been encouraging folks to enjoy Let's Go Pils from Community Beer Works for the last couple of months. Every time you buy Let's Go Pils at places like Premier Gourmet, the Lexington Co-op, Central Park Grill, lots of other locations as well, Caputi's for another one, a portion of the proceeds on those purchases go to benefit Read with Reed 83, which is Pro Football Hall of Famer Andre Reed's foundation, which is encouraging kids to read by assisting in the renovation of reading rooms at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Western New York. Now, that sounds fantastic. Of course, it might be the kind of thing that would have you searching high and low for this beer. But, of course, like I already mentioned, it is available all around the city and the suburbs. Lots of bars and restaurants. All of the stores that you normally buy your beer at, you're going to find Let's Go Pils. So make sure you keep that in mind. You're doing a little something to help out the community while you're enjoying this delicious beer from a fantastic local company. So no matter which community you call home, choose Buffalo's original neighborhood brewery for award-winning flavor, like Let's Go Pils, and the chance to help out folks right here in town. Make an impact where you live. Choose Community Beer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
The way they played last night, they definitely would have come out on the top side. But, you know, Tampa Bay was, they were eager, they were hungry, and they wanted to make sure that they, that was Paul. They just put out the buffet.
On WGR.
Go ahead, Paul, you can go get a plate.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, I thought they were great.
Sports Radio 550.
That's one thing the Sabres game experience has never included, an animal roaring. What an addition that would make to the atmosphere. Rob played it well. Paul Hamilton joins us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, who we're at 716. Paul joins us now on the Wester Hotline. Hello, Paul.
How are you?
All right.
Real good, yeah.
What's going on with this team, Paul? It's been 6 losses in 7 games. The trip to Sweden fit in there last weekend and long breaks before and since. So it hasn't really, there haven't been many games to talk about. What do you think of the overall state of things?
Well, every team's going to go through a losing streak. I mean, the Bruins all of a sudden had a 4-game losing streak. This Carolina Hurricane team did the same. Mm-hmm. The Sabres are doing it now. But the problem is you have to stop it. What happened last year is it just kept going and going. And then every now and then they'd win a game, and then the losing would start again. And it just is why you plummeted. Have you gone down the standings? Yes, you have. But you're only a couple of points out. I mean, you've had your losing streak. Now it's time to straighten it out and get back going again and get back to playing the way you're capable of playing, which is pressure, which is speed, which is coming out of your own end as a five-man unit, as a group, and not trying to do it individually and getting those gaps a little bit closer and getting the pressure that they were doing and start getting people to the net so you can start scoring some goals on your shots instead of letting the goaltender see everything. And that's what they have to do. It's like, okay, you're going to lose some games. I mean, it's as simple as that. You've lost to some pretty good teams along the way here, too. The Washington Capitals are red hot. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't think it's a huge embarrassment to lose a couple of games to them. But
agree.
You have to start turning. You just can't let it keep going and keep going to where 2 points out becomes 8 points out, becomes 10 points out, and now all of a sudden in a month and a half and the new year comes in, you're out of the whole thing.
You might want to put the Islanders on that list. I don't know. This is two years in a row where they're seemingly excellent.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So it's to me, it's imperative that now that they're going to be playing games again, I mean, they only played 2 games in almost 2 weeks, that they've got to start turning it around now. Now is the time.
Yeah, and you've got to win games in a row. I mean, a part of the thing last year, Paul, was, you know, the odd game they would win, they did not win back-to-back games until the final weekend of the season last year for, you know, from like, I think the 10-game win streak on, maybe? Like, it was just an absurdly long time that they could not even win 2 in a row. And, you know, that's, you're going to have a good season. You've got to have some winning streaks to go along with the losing streaks that are going to come. You know, that's just how the game works. You're going to stack up points. You got to do that.
No, they absolutely do. And, you know, when they're on their game like they were earlier in the season when they skated out to an 8-1-1 record. I mean, they were on their game. They were playing in the offensive end. They were having puck possession. They were able to get out of their zone with good passes and be quickly up the ice. They were able to attack with two men all over the ice so they could produce turnovers. They were getting guys to play out of character and go to the net and be around the net and cash in on those opportunities. What were they? They were like second or third in the league in scoring for a while. And, you know, those are the things they need to get back to be successful.
I wondered, Paul, when they started, you know, it was a new coach, new system, and the results were so good that I wondered, like, if whatever they were doing would be a puzzle that opponents would eventually figure out and do something to take it away, and then what is the counteraction to that? And maybe that's where we are. Mike and I have both observed, and we talked in our first segment about the amount of times it seems they're just throwing the puck into the zone. And I think like that, I didn't notice that as much early in the season when they were winning, and maybe it was just that they were winning and it was masking it, so I didn't really want to think about it, and now they're losing, so I'm getting picky. But I just feel like there's a lot more chip and chase than I would like in today's game.
They weren't doing it as much earlier in the season because they had good control of the puck. They didn't need as many entries because they'd get in and stay there.
Yeah.
You know, where now you're seeing more entries. And it's like you're frustrated. So it's like, all right, they've stood us up here. We can't get in. We got to chip it in and go. And we try to go get it, which is fine. If you can put it in the place where you can get two men in on the defense and you can be in on them and either be the first one there or cause the turnover, that's fine. But I think what you're seeing now is more attempts to get into the zone because they're not spending any time there.
Gandella is back, and is Lazar in?
Yes, because of the injury to Johansson. Rodriguez was already in for the injury to Sobotka, and he was the extra forward, so Lazar is in. Johansson is not going to play through the weekend, and then they're going to reevaluate after that, so he will miss through the Chicago game on Sunday.
Paul, was there any clarity on when he got hurt? Because I know he played right to the end of the game on Saturday. So was he nursing something maybe through the games in Sweden? I'm just curious if you have any clues on that.
All Kruger would say is he was trying to play through it.
Okay.
But he wouldn't say if it happened that game or if he's been playing through it for a while and had to finally stop. He wouldn't get specific that way. Maybe
gotcha.
Jason Bottrell can shine some light on that.
Curtis Lazar, he's played almost 250 games in the league, all for Ottawa. I mean, he was playing predominantly at least for Ottawa.
Calgary,
okay, thanks. And he was signed here as an unrestricted free agent in the beginning of July after that started. What does he bring?
Yeah, 9 points in 11 games down in Rochester. So, you know, he can chip in a little bit on the offense, but he's going to be a little different player than most of the Sabres are. He's got a little hit to him. He certainly is going to be there to protect teammates if that is needed. He's going to be in there. He will finish his check. He will be tough that way. I mean, he's not like a goon or anything like that, but he will answer the bell if need be, and it's something that they really don't have on this team at all. So, you know, I don't expect 9 points in 11 games on the NHL level. That's what he's been able to produce. What I did see in preseason when he played, he was getting opportunities. I mean, he was in on the forecheck. He was in hard. He played hard, and that would produce some opportunities at the other net, which he didn't convert on. But that seems to be the type of player he is. He's got a high motor, and you'll see him out in the forecheck, and I think you will see opportunities produced. Whether he can cash in on them, that's another story.
And Scandella goes in, right? He's going to play?
Yeah, Scandella goes in, and that takes Miller out. And I think what we're going to see is some type of a rotation. Unless this game turns into like a 6-0 victory, and it's like we played so well, we're just not going to change it up. I could see somebody else coming out the next game and then somebody else coming out the game after that. And then maybe a game of 7D. Kruger said he is not against that, of dressing 11 forwards and 7D from time to time too. So how many players would be involved in that rotation, I don't know. But it just sound from talking to Kruger, it does not sound like it's going to be the same guy every night.
All right, Carolina, the favorite, -134 tonight at the Sabres. If Paul is – if it happens to be a 6-0 Sabres win, we will definitely talk about it. Paul's sort of passing, not a prediction exactly, but just reference to that possibility.
That's as close as I get to one, right?
I mean, that's a great job. Not a lot here in terms of tribute video humor. Rick Dudley, everybody's fond of Rick Dudley, right? Like all over the league and in Buffalo, if you remember his playing days in the 70s. And, you know, he might have been here. I think I saw him for the alumni.
Yeah, he was here
70s night.
Yeah, Rob.
He's here quite often. He's scouting.
Yeah. Okay. He's in the Carolina upper management. And Dudley, I forget this because I will often bring up the 90 Sabres as one of their best ever teams. But they lost in the first round, and all those teams did, and it's just it's easy to sort of lose any sort of track of which teams were better than others. But the 90 team finished third overall in the league. It's not the President's Trophy, but it's not far off, and went out in the first round of the team that finished fourth in the league, Montreal, in 1990, in a good series. And Dudley was the coach of that team, and I tend to forget that. I feel like thinking of who was the coach of the Sabres in those years when they didn't get out of the first round. It's a lot of different guys, almost all of whom played for them, not Sater. Sater's in there maybe more than once. I don't know, but it's a hard trivia game for me. And Dudley being the 90 coach is something I sometimes forget.
Yeah, Rob Ray talks about him quite a bit, you know, being his first coach as the Sabres and how intense the man was. And he said he was afraid of him. Rob Ray's not afraid of too many people.
Yeah.
He might be the only person I've ever heard him say he was afraid of.
Yeah.
He was Rob's first coach.
I can remember, like, I can still see the look of anger or tension mixed with intensity on Dudley's face behind the bench when things would not go how he wanted them to go. And I don't know, it's a silly way to say it, but He had a very, very intimidating mean face.
Did he also not have a sweater vest often? Did he also usually wear a sweater vest? Right?
Yes.
How mean can you really look?
I don't know. I'm just telling you. He scared me on TV. I saw Rob interviewed him for that night you were here for the 70s game on TV. Rob interviewed him, and he still, to me, on TV, Dudley looked like he could just, like, bench press this building. Like, he just looked like he was just ripped. And, like, I don't know, how old a guy is he? I mean, he played when I was a little kid. Like,
yeah. He's 60s. I mean, in age.
He still cuts an imposing figure, I guess, is what I would say.
Rob knows how to push everybody's buttons, including Rick Dudley's. And he said a couple of years ago, they were in the dinner room over here at the arena, and Rob was pushing his buttons about something, and he goes, Rick got really mad. He goes, I didn't know if he was going to start throwing tables or what he was going to do. He goes, I just thought to myself, shut up and get away from it.
I love that stuff. I love that stuff. You know, you were there. If I say to you, Bulldog, the Crozier-Robert story, you know what I mean, right?
Yes, right.
Paul, do you know this one?
I don't.
I love this stuff. Like, you just so – sports, I mean, there's so much money in playing, and guys are on new teams all the time. And it used to be a lot easier to buy into rivalries and, like, sort of, I'm going to, just like the competitive side of it, it's tougher now. I mean, it's just like life now is everybody's moving around and making tons of money. But it was different than that. And so when you meet somebody or listen to somebody from the old days talk about, like, this point you're making, the story you're telling, you know, I love it. Because you want to believe it. You want to just believe, like, they are still mad about a thing or whatever. And in the lockout season, Paul, the Sabres had, a charity game where the French Connection came back and all kinds of alumni came back. It was a Saturday afternoon. Do you remember it?
It sounds familiar, but I don't remember it offhand, no.
Okay. They had, like, all the former Sabres, including Gilbert and everybody, play against a team of NHL legends,
right,
and a couple of other celebrities, including Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox, Dennis
Leary. Oh,
yeah,
I was in the penalty box for that. I was actually broadcasting that. Now that you said it's against the Stars. I was yes, right. I was there.
We were on the bench.
We were the coaches.
We were coaches, Paul,
of the Sabre team.
I remember now. Yep.
Dennis Leary, Michael J. Fox. We got to meet them,
right?
And it was really great. So we're
I have a
puck
from that game.
You do?
Yep.
So we're in the locker room as the guys are getting dressed, like we're the coaches. And Joe Crozier is in there. Like, he's probably the actual coach, right? And Robert walked up to him. And, you know, Bulldog and I are just there, like, our mouths are open. Like, we're just like, this is unbelievable. I mean, look around. How cool is this?
Yeah.
And Robert goes up to Crozier and starts, like, you know, snapping at him for a game in, like, 73 or something. I cannot believe you benched me for this. And I'm, like, I'm standing there next to – I'm, like, right beside Crozier. And Robert comes up and starts talking like that. And I start laughing because everybody in the room is laughing. Like, there's just everything about the whole event is fun and not serious. And Robert goes up to Crozier and is like, I cannot believe you benched me that night. I cannot believe you did that. And, like, I don't really know Robert, but he's not – I realize I'm laughing. He's not kidding. Like, after a few seconds, I'm like, oh, no, he's actually really serious right now.
He's still mad.
And Crozier just gives it back to him.
Right. Well, if you could have played some defense
right.
or whatever.
Or if you – whatever. You did a – he had a reason. I don't even know if I thought of it, I'm not sure I would say it. Like, he had a reason for it. And, like, these two guys were sort of like – you know, it was never – it was not ugly or anything. It was just, like, real.
They were just poking each other.
At a charity game 40 years later. And I loved it. So when that comes out, when you get a look at that in sports now or even just from the past, you know, I just love it.
Yeah, it is fun to hear the stories. And, you know, Rob, when Brad May was around, they had some great ones. They never ran out of them.
Right. All right, Paul. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, could I just briefly say, because I know a lot of people know Mike Maniscalco, used to work at our station. He is back with the Carolina Hurricanes, for people that don't know, in San Jose. He was rushed to the hospital. Things were not looking good at all. They were very worried about him for his life. And he had a mass removed from his stomach, and everything is fine. And it was 3 weeks ago, and the staples are out, and he is back to work. Saw him today, and he's feeling great. And I know a lot of people know him from his days at WGR, and I just wanted to let people know that.
Great.
I'm really glad you mentioned it, Paul. Good job.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
All right. That's Paul on the Wester Hotline. His appearance with us brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
We will have Rob here in about 15 minutes. Sabres and Hurricanes pregame at 6 tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 716. This is WGR.
It's important to be part of the group, even if you're in the lineup or not. We're all going through everything together, wins, losses, what have you. We're a tight group in here, so anytime you can at least have something to do with the group, something I felt was important to be a part of.
Made it look easy. Wasn't even thinking about him, but you were here.
Paul featured that quote in his game day story at WGR550.com. So I don't know that if I hadn't taken the time to read Paul's story,
I'm embarrassed
that I would have had that. But there you go.
I should have been doing that. So what can I say here?
I think I saw
I was
it.
Packing.
I think I saw it in Paul's story. Anyway, whatever. I know I read the quote from Bogosian somewhere today. So
I need an excuse. So of all the things I was doing, I'll pick the thing of those things that might be the most respectable. So I was packing. If you go somewhere, you have to do some packing. So that's what I was doing. It wasn't all the things I was doing apart from that that are just like meaningless and a waste of time. It's the thing that matters that I'm
going
to use.
You're going what, for like a day?
Packing? Well, three nights.
Yeah, okay. All right. Not bad.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, so that's packing. I needed like at least three of everything.
Yeah. All right.
You know?
Yeah. I'm at a point now where like I hardly even bring stuff with me when I'm going for like a weekend in Canada even. We've done that a couple times in the fall. I'm just like, whatever.
You don't take anything?
It's a little easy. I guess I've got some stuff there that I can fall back on if I need it. So, like, I'm literally throwing stuff in, like, a plastic grocery bag. That's my packing now.
Mm. No, I had the suitcase today.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. Right. No, this is a big one.
Yeah. We're both heading to the same part of the country.
Yes. Yes. You, Bermuda.
You a little sooner than me. Yeah.
No, New England. We're both going to New England for different things.
All right.
Just trying to find the beer thing in New England, in Boston, like in a lot of places, and Buffalo is one of them, is just really good. So with only a short time there, I don't want to make any bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to only the considered best places. One guy I know tweeted, okay, it's not beer, but if you want to have a good sandwich, go to this place.
Right.
Like, okay, for this kind of beer, go to this place. Good. That's what I'm going to do. So, oh, what is the app? Matt from Big Ditch just showed me this app. Hop Stopper is wrong. There's an app where, like Untappd, you know, these apps, this is Hop something, and it shows you all the breweries on a map.
All right.
And it might even like have details about what's on tap or lines or anything like that. Like I want to go to Treehouse, but they say it's often really long lines.
Yeah.
You
don't want that if you're only in and out. You
know, well, that's right.
You don't want to burn too much time at one place.
If I'm in Boston, it's at least an hour away.
Right.
And if there's long lines, then I might have to not go. So that's right. You want this. It's not Hop.
Hop Plotter.
Hop Plotter. Thank you, Joe. Seven letters. Hop Plotter. Did you know it or did you just look it up?
No, I had to look it up.
Hop Plotter. There it is. Rob would know it. If Rob were here yet, he would definitely know it. Rob Ray coming up. We'll have John Clayton and Jason Botterill in the 5 o'clock hour. Evan Abrams tomorrow, moved from his usual Thursday slot. Sabres and Hurricanes tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 716. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.